the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly to you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
All across the Gulf South, it's 7 a.m. Time to wake up on Catholic Community Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Wake Up on this beautiful Wednesday morning. We're so glad to have you with us today. I'm Gabby Smith along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Abair. Hey guys, good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you guys. It is a beautiful day.
It is, Johnny.
Hot and steamy.
Yeah. And just wait. It might be a little hotter and always, a little steamier.
It's like the fire of the Holy Spirit brings to bring that summer heat. I don't know what that is. Yeah, exactly. Hey, we are remembering today St. William of York. Interesting guy. Bishop got caught up in a lot of intrigue, but he persevered through it all. So we're going to call on him and forgave as well. Call on him and get our day started in prayer. Always a good place to start, right, with prayer.
That's right.
So we do so. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O Lord, to St. William of York, you gave the virtue of patience and forgiveness, even in the midst of struggles, exile, and betrayal. Like him, may we have confidence that all things work toward the end for which we were created, and that is to be with you in heaven, if only we persevere and hold on fast to your commandments of love, of mercy, and of forgiveness. And we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever.
Amen.
St. William of York,
pray for us.
Pray for us.
Great. Thank you so much, Johnny. Looking forward to your gospel reflection. That'll be in just a few moments. We're also joined by Peter Finney. He is the general editor, manager, and editor of the Clarion Herald, and he'll give us an update of what you'll find in this week's issue in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. Dr. Tom Neal joins us. He's a professor of spiritual theology over at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. And today we're going to talk about upcoming feasts, Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, Sacred Immaculate Heart. So he's going to dive deeper into these feast days, and so we'll learn more about those. Douglas Beaumont joins us, and he's author of the book, The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Faith. So that'll be a great interview with Douglas. Kind of get more perspective. I don't know about you guys, but later this afternoon, it's a rare occasion, I'm going to the movies, which I don't normally do because I'm a big streamer, that they'll just come on the stream later. But I'm excited. So looking forward to hearing more about Douglas.
You might have a new perspective after we hear from Douglas about that. So, well, today, as Johnny said, it's a warm one. So it's mostly sunny and hot with the highs reaching in the mid-90s again today. So be ready for some hot weather. In Baton Rouge, it is 74 degrees this morning. Mandeville is 75. And then it's already 80 degrees in New Orleans and Biloxi. So it will be a toasty one out there today. So make sure you hydrate, drink your water. And like Damien says, carry an umbrella.
Sunscreen.
You
want to
keep the sun off your... Yeah, sunscreen. That's important too. And Gabby said it's National Ocean Day.
Ocean Day.
Yeah.
So if you head to the ocean,
which isn't very close.
Go to the beach.
Go to the beach, wear your sunscreen, and bring some water with you. That's always an important
thing. And pick up your trash, please. And don't feed the seagulls. Don't feed the wildlife.
Well, if you do, they will become little pests and bug you. So don't do that. So stick around. We'll be back with today's gospel and Johnny's gospel reflection. It is 5 minutes after the hour on Wake Up.
Good Wednesday to you. I'm Father Chris Decker with today's Gospel. Jesus said to his disciples, "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Amen, I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or the smallest part of a letter will pass from the law until all things have taken place. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do so will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever obeys and teaches these commandments will be called greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Thank you, Father Chris Decker, and thank you, Jimmy Sagers. Short gospel today, but packed with power, specifically because, let's back up. You know, one of the many proofs that Jesus is the Messiah is the fact that everything that came before him made sense only after he fulfilled everything he was sent to do. And to a Jew of Jesus's time, the words in the gospel today really make this clearly. But with the English translation, we lose a little bit. So let's look at that. So Matthew writes that the smallest part of the letter will not pass away till all things have taken place. And the word used here, iota, we've heard of the word iota, Louisiana, is something really small, right? It comes from the Hebrew word yod, Y-O-D. Now, this is a powerful word, this is very literally. And yod was the smallest letter in Hebrew. It was like a dot or a point. But even though it was the smallest letter, it reflected to Jews, God, like in concentrated form, like power. And that tiny drop, that tiny symbol, God enveloped the entire created world. And it was represented how God descended down to his people, like the hand of God. And the reason for that is because Yod was the 10th letter in the Hebrew alphabet. And of course, 10 was huge to Jews. I mean, 10 represents completeness, and only in God was everything complete. I mean, you think about 10's the fundamental for every aspect of creation to the Jews, the 10 commandments, the 10 generations between Adam and Noah to Abraham, all that. So there's a power in that tiny little word that's used here. Now, on a personal level, you know, we know that everything that's happened in our lives sometimes doesn't seem to make sense until you look back on it. You guys can relate to that. You look back and you marvel, don't you? Yeah. A story really came across to me that kind of pointed this out, a true story that kind of brought the gospel home to me. Now, you guys may recall that famous song, The Sound of Silence, mm-hmm. by Simon and Garfunkel. I mean, one of the greatest songs of all time. Mm-hmm. There's a story behind the story on this song, and it has to do with a friendship between Art Garfunkel and this guy named Sandy Greenberg, and they met in college as friends. They became very, very close, and they swore that they would always be there for one another. Well, as time went on, Sandy got this condition of blindness, and he ended up losing his sight, mm-hmm. but he dropped out of college. He became like a recluse at home, even contemplated suicide. Mm-hmm. And then one day, Art Garfunkel knocks on his door and says, you know, I'm here. I'm never going to leave you. I promised I would always be here with you. And Art Garfunkel helped Sandy to adapt to his life. And in fact, at one point, he kind of played a trick on him a little bit, where he left him at the train station and then kind of said, "I have to go. I have an emergency."
Oh, no.
And Sandy had to find his way home.
Oh, wow.
And when Sandy finally got home, he had gone through all kinds of struggles. He'd fallen and things like that. And he said it was the longest 2 hours of his life. You know. But when he got home, there was Art Garfunkel was there, and he had followed him the whole time. He was with him. He never actually left him. So from that, Sandy gained confidence, and he ended up going on and going back to college, got 2 degrees and became a philanthropist. And then one day he got a call from Art Garfunkel, and Art said that can you help me with $400? We're going to do this album, you know, we're going to do a song, an album together. Now, Sandy and he had just been married, and his wife only had $404, but he didn't hesitate to be there for his friend. And so that album had this famous song called The Sound of Silence on it. And if you remember the words, the first lines of that song went this way. "Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk to you again." Does that ring a bell? Remember that song? This was a tribute from Art to his friend Sandy because Art called himself Darkness whenever he met with Sandy. And he said he did that because he wanted to enter that darkness with him and to be there with his friend and then to help him rise up out of that darkness to become the person that God wanted him to be. And you go on, you hear the rest of the song, and Paul Simon wrote most of this, but this comes through. "The words of the prophets are written on the subway halls and the tenement halls, echoing back to what our Lord says, not the smallest letter of the law will ever pass away." So it kind of exemplifies that the spark of God, the plan of God, the hand of God will never pass away from either within us or from our, or outside of our souls. And that we're moving toward the culmination of a mighty and great plan. It's Jesus who leads us. It's Jesus who never leaves us. It's Jesus who stands ready to help us if we fall. And in gratitude, he's going to ask us to be a part of that plan. And we might feel insignificant, like the tiniest letter of the law. But if we hold on, even to that tiniest spark of God, that drop, that concentrated God can rise us up from the darkness. And then, as the Lord says, we shall know greatness. We shall be complete, as in 10. So many stories, right, guys? But you can all relate to that. Looking back on your life, and it doesn't make sense in the plan of God until you look back and you say, yeah, God, you were following me the whole time, just ready to catch me.
Wow, that's great.
Yes, definitely. Well, and I'm a firm believer that also everything happens for a reason. And of course, when you look back, you see God in those different areas in your life, especially those challenges. So, and there are moments, even in the present day, where you can see it and you're like, all right, God, I see you doing that. Okay, I get it. I'm just going with it. So there are plenty of moments where I've been in that situation and just went along with it because, you know, that's just how it's turned out to be. So thanks, Johnny. I like that take.
We'll stay with us. It's quarter past the hour now, and we're going to be with the saint of the day. Here's coming up next, and then Peter Finney with the Clarion Herald. Lots going on in the area. Hang on. Be right back.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for June 8th. Today we celebrate St. William of York. A disputed election as Archbishop of York and a mysterious death are the headlines from the tragic life of today's saint. Born into a powerful family in 12th century England, William seemed destined for great things. His uncle was next in line for the English throne, though a nasty dynastic struggle complicated things. William himself faced an internal church feud. Despite these roadblocks, he was nominated to become Archbishop of York in 1140. Since the local clergy were less enthusiastic, the Archbishop of Canterbury decided not to consecrate William. 3 years later, a neighboring bishop performed the consecration, but it lacked the approval of Pope Innocent II, whose successors likewise withheld approval. William was deposed, and a new election was ordered. Finally, in 1154, William became Archbishop of York. Entering the city that spring after years of exile, he received an enthusiastic welcome. Within 2 months, however, William was dead, most likely a victim of poisoning. His administrative assistant was suspected of the crime, though no formal charges were ever made. Following his death, many miracles were attributed to William, who was canonized 73 years later. There's more about the saints along with inspiration and Catholic resources at our website, saintoftheday.org. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Good to have you back on Wake Up. It's 18 after the hour. It's going to be the hot and sultry day. And we're going to look back and look ahead today to all that's going on in the area. And joining us is Peter Finney. He was the general manager and editor of the Clarion Herald, giving us an update on the June 11th issue. Is that right, Peter? June 11th coming out?
That's correct, Johnny. Thank you very much. Nice to be with you.
Nice to be with you as well. Well, you know, it seems like the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and the oil is just a flying. I mean, it's just pouring down all over the place. So, tell us about what the events that just occurred.
That's right. Well, you know, in the space of just about a month, there'll be three separate ordination ceremonies. Just a couple weeks ago, we had five men ordained for the Archdiocese as transitional deacons, which is the final step to ordination for the priesthood next year. And then just last Saturday, we had six guys, men who were ordained as priests. And they are, the new fathers are Jeffrey Merritt, William Mumphrey, Lenine Arroyo Martinez, Jody DiMaggio, Dennis Obienu, and Andy Gonzalez. And a beautiful ceremony, liturgy, and they all are overwhelmed by the, as you said, the movement of the Holy Spirit. And it was really providential that their ordination occurred on the weekend of Pentecost, and they were preaching their first Mass about the Holy Spirit. And then in another couple weeks, on June 25th, 16 men are going to be ordained as permanent deacons in the Archdiocese, and that will bring the number of active permanent deacons in the Archdiocese to 226. So it's a very strong permanent diaconate program. Wow. And of course they do so much to assist the priest in his ministry, as well as to do a lot of counseling and other kind of charity work. So really some wonderful times during this last month.
When is the permanent diaconate ordination ceremony again, Peter?
That will be June 25th, Saturday, June 25th at 10 o'clock, 10 a.m. at St. Louis Cathedral.
Yeah, I imagine that with 16, that's going to be a packed cathedral, right?
Yeah.
It's going to be, I would say, unless you have correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not really sure. I think you have to be invited to attend because there are so many families obviously involved. So, but you can watch it on WLAE, and also it's going to be live streamed at NOLACatholic.org. And anybody who hasn't seen an ordination liturgy, it's a beautiful, it's so filled with symbolism and the tenets of our Catholic faith. So it's a very fascinating liturgy to be involved with, either live or, watching it on the computer or on TV.
Yeah, and we want to give a little shout out to our friend with the Catholic Radio, Julius Laurent. Julius, our prayers are with you. Recently got together with a bunch of his friends and our friends going back to LSU days, and we were all talking about how the Lord's, it's amazing, we were kind of matched up with the gospel. You never know what little seed or that little kernel of faith is planted, maybe when you're really young, like in Julius's case back in college days, and now many years later being called to this point. That's beautiful. Just looking forward to it.
It is beautiful. I'm going to tell you, one of the deacons to be ordained permanent deacon credited Catholic Community Radio with really kind of reawakening his faith. So there you go. I mean, your ministry is certainly bearing fruit.
Well, that's why we're here. Someone once said. Well, there's other ceremonies and celebrations going on as well, particularly talk about our youth, right, Peter?
Yes. Every year we do a graduation section. We list the all the graduates of every all 22 Catholic high schools in the Archdiocese, and it's a wonderful time of celebration for families. They've been, especially this class, certainly went through 2 years virtually of the pandemic and just all kind of flexibility and schedules, and they persevered. So they got to this point, and they've had some wonderful graduation ceremonies. So we have a graduation section. It's 28 pages, and everybody who graduated has got his or her name in the paper, and congratulations to them and their families for a job well done.
Well, that's awesome. Hopefully they'll all become evangelists in some form or fashion.
That's right.
That's a degree I think we all need to get. But, we were talking about what was it the other day? It kind of shocked me, Peter. I was listening to something, and someone mentioned that dreaded word, hurricane. I said, no.
Oh, no.
Not here yet. Not, come on. Give me some time here. But you guys are kind of talking about that a little bit, right? And then this next issue coming up.
And we kind of focused on three of the ministries in the Archdiocese that deal especially with the vulnerable, the elderly seniors who are in either nursing homes or in assisted living. They all have evacuation plans. And also, they're making plans, and everybody should make a plan. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tell you, they had a press conference at the end of May, and I feel a little bit more comfortable now after having gone to this press conference. It was out by what they call the Great Wall of Louisiana. It's this 130, it's a mile and a half perimeter, incredible structure that keeps water out of the inner navigation canal when there's a hurricane coming. They can shut these massive walls to keep the water out, you know, during a hurricane event. And it made me feel a lot more comfortable that, you know, we always go, hey, are we in better shape than we used to be? There's no question the city of New Orleans is protected by this 130-mile perimeter thing. That they're more protected than we've ever been. So that made me feel good. So obviously we have to keep an eye on things. Things seem to pop up more quickly, especially, you know, the last two hurricanes, Governor John Bel Edwards mentioned, Laura and Ida, they popped up in the Caribbean, so they didn't come a long way from Africa. You know, they popped up in a matter of days, and so it really puts a kink in evacuation plans, but we have to be ready. And there's all kind of websites to go on and to figure out your own family plan. But there is a website the state runs called getaplan.com, and they, you know, it's a good thing for people to, you know, to do and to make their own family plan.
Yeah, I understand you guys are focusing specifically on some agencies that would be of importance for our elderly and our infirm.
Yes.
I mean, any particular ones you're highlighting this issue, agency-wise?
The incredible thing is that for the nursing home residents in the Archdiocese, there is a former converted grocery store in Bunky, Louisiana, which is just south of Alexandria, that already has ready 400 hospital-type beds, along with all the supplies that anybody would need. So in case there would be a mandatory evacuation of nursing homes, the residents would go on buses to this wonderful facility. It's not like we know last year we heard about some warehouses and stuff like that. This is a really incredible facility that they've never used. They bought it about 10 years ago, but it's never been used. But it's there, and it's such a safe haven, and people are really happy that they do have this, you know. So we know where these most frail elderly are going to go. So that's a really good thing for Catholic Charities to, for Notre Dame Health System to have, you know, available.
Yeah, you bet.
Oh, and I wanted to the hurricane plan. I misspoke on the. It's called getagameplan.org. Mm-hmm. Getagameplan.org. So every family should really look at that for details on hurricane preparation.
You bet. You bet. You know, and on the science side of this stuff, my former employee, we kind of got a look into the actual integrity of the earthen levee system, and I feel a lot more comfortable about those levees being stronger than ever because they found areas where they could have been upgraded and they did. So, but still,
right.
you got to plan for the worst,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and like they say, this doesn't eliminate all risk; it reduces the risk. So that's why the importance of making a plan is there. Mm-hmm. You have to be plan ahead.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Well, Peter, where can people pick up a copy of the Clarion Herald, either in a hard copy or electronically?
Sure. The newspaper will be at every church in the Archdiocese of New Orleans this weekend. And right now, every page of every issue is online at clarionherald.org.
Now, Peter, I seem to remember you guys went to a summer schedule. Is there any changes in the Clarion Herald in terms of your...
Actually, since the pandemic, we've been every other week, so it remains the same during the summer. So now we're every other week. So our next issue will be June 25th.
Okay. So when does Peter Finney go on vacation?
we try to go every year the end of July. So that's the that's the target, and we're just hoping there's nothing in the Gulf that will that will mess that up.
That's right.
Oh, that's the real toasty time. So,
That's right.
Well, Peter,
right. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. Yeah, you bet. Thank you, Peter, for everything you and your staff does. Always looking forward to that. Again, the June 11th issue, and I really want to get to know our new priests and our soon-to-be new permanent deacons. So check them out. Mm-hmm. Speaking of that, we're going to be joined by Dr. Tom Neal. You know the name. He's going to be talking to us. He is the professor there at Notre Dame about upcoming feasts, not the kind you eat, the spiritual kind of feasts. Or you can do both, I guess. Anyway, stay with us. It is half past the hour on Wake Up.
This is Life News Radio. I'm Jim Anderson. Recent attacks against now some 30 pregnancy centers have mostly involved spray paint. One pro-life activist noted a mixed message in local graffiti threats that included a "love you" heart for punctuation. However, a third facility has been firebombed. The psychological roots and impact of arson are now compounded by the injury of two firefighters in Buffalo, New York. Compass Care says it will rebuild quickly in Buffalo. Henry Cuellar, the last pro-life House Democrat, has turned back a third challenge by a radical abortion advocate in South Texas. Ballot recounts in the tight election have increased Cuellar's lead to nearly 300 votes. This is Life News Radio. Persecution around the world has manifested itself through the centuries, but it is worse today than ever before. Aid to the Church in Need and its donors have been there to help since 1947, never abandoning the church or her most vulnerable children. Will you stand up for your faith and accompany our brothers and sisters on their spiritual journey? Visit churchinneed.org. churchinneed.org. Governments are legalizing advanced directives for suicide to compete with new therapies and accommodations for mental impairments among our elders. Canada, despite a conflict of interest in its single-payer healthcare system, is the latest to consider legislation that would essentially sell death and advanced directives instead of treatment. Abortion-friendly Democrats in the U.S. House are growing increasingly intent on forcing the military to perform abortions. In what could be a boon for the abortion industry, having thousands of military doctors compelled to perform abortions, if they could pull it off, could answer much of the abortion industry shortage of abortionists. For pro-life headlines delivered to your email address daily, sign up at lifenews.com. This has been Life News Radio.
It is 35 past the hour. Thanks so much for tuning in this morning. You're listening to Wake Up on Catholic Community Radio. I'm Gabby Smith, along with Alicia Quibido and Johnny Hebert. Our next guest is Dr. Tom Neal. He's a professor of spiritual theology at Notre Dame Seminary in New Orleans. And today we're going to talk about upcoming feasts: Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, Sacred Immaculate Heart. So we're going to dive deeper into these feast days, learn more about them. Good morning, Dr. Neal.
Good morning, Gabby. Good to hear your voice. How are you today?
It's good to have you with us today. Tell us a little bit more about these upcoming feast days. I'd love to learn a little bit more. I've heard of obviously all of them, but we'll always love to have more information.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me on, and I love, talking about these kind of things with you all. And so, to think about the upcoming feast days we have. So just a little bit of why these feast days, Trinity Sunday, Corpus Christi, as you mentioned, and the Sacred Immaculate Heart, are where they are in the liturgical season. So we just finished the Easter season, 50 days of Easter after Christ's resurrection. And near the end of the 50 days, we celebrated the ascension of Jesus into heaven. So Jesus returns to the Father and brings our humanity, the human heart, to the right hand of the Father, to the heart of the Father. And then the Father and the Son, last Sunday, send the Holy Spirit together at Pentecost, right? And they send the Spirit. The Spirit comes from the Father and the Son to, you might say, to unleash all of the power of Jesus' death and resurrection. So everything that Jesus achieved by his death and resurrection for us, the Holy Spirit comes to unleash on the face of the earth. And that's the birth of the church, because the church is the place where Jesus's power, the power of resurrection,
is unleashed into the world. I like to say that Pentecost is the detonation of the J-bomb, right? Jesus is detonated in the world, in Jerusalem. Unlike a nuclear weapon, this bomb recreates the world. This fire doesn't destroy, it purifies, and it brings to life. So we've had all of these extraordinary mysteries. It's the peak of the liturgical year, of the church's year. And then after Pentecost, it's kind of like the church after Pentecost says, looks back and says, what just happened? What was that? It's like this kind of stunned moment of silence where the church just has to look and take stock of what just happened. And so the feasts are the church taking stock of what just happened. And so Trinity Sunday basically says, God has revealed to us the deepest secret that he has, who he is. God is, now we know, God is Trinity. God is a community of persons, eternal persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. So he reveals to us his deepest secret. His Son becomes human as the Father sends him into the world. He lives his life. He dies for us. He rises from the dead. And then the Father and the Son send their Holy Spirit to us, the third person who is now revealed to the world at Pentecost. So we see this mystery, that this is who God is. But, you know, the Trinity is not like some kind of weird math logical puzzle. Like, how do you make three, one, one, three? The Trinity is not just a logic puzzle to be thought about and puzzled over. In the end, the Trinity is God revealing himself so that he can encounter us and we can encounter him as he is. And so here's the neat thing. Johnny kind of humorously said that Tom Neal's going to look at the feasts coming up, but they're not the kind of feasts that you eat. But the fact is that they are. And then we have Corpus Christi, because Corpus Christi says the Trinity isn't just something you think about, like some kind of interesting idea. You actually eat, can ingest God himself in the Eucharist, Corpus Christi, the body and blood of Christ. You consume the Son into yourself. You receive him in the most intimate way a human being can receive anything, by consuming and eating, ingesting. And he comes into us and he makes our life his and his life ours, and so shares with us the Trinity's life. The Son shares with us his life by the Holy Spirit's power so that we can become sons and daughters of the Father in the most intimate way with him. So Corpus Christi makes real what Holy Trinity Sunday teaches us and shows us. This is who he is, and he wants you inside of him. He wants you in this Trinitarian mystery. And then after Corpus Christi, the Friday after Corpus Christi, he sends, the church celebrates the Sacred Heart, which is the Feast of the Heart of Jesus, because the Eucharist is the heart of Jesus itself given to us. The love of God. So these feasts all form one beautiful kind of story, looking back at the Easter season and what its gift was to us.
Dr. Neal, I could understand everything that you just said, but I don't know if we can position your phone where we can maybe hear you a little bit more clearly, because I want to get into this next feast day that you touched on earlier, the Sacred and the Immaculate Heart. This is an image that I think so many people are so drawn to. Catholic, non-Catholic, I think people need to know exactly what this is, because my husband and I talked about this a long time ago, we were watching a tattoo challenge TV show, and they had to draw, they had to design a tattoo of the Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and then they would vote on which tattoo was the best. I turned to my husband, like, do they know what this image is about? Did this, you know, people are drawn to this image. It's a beautiful image, but what is the feast day? So can you dive deeper into the beauty of this day?
Sure. Oh, that's absolutely, that's a beautiful way to put it, actually, the kind of tattoo competition. So the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the image of the heart, so for, in kind of a Hebrew mindset of the Old Testament, the heart is the very center of the person. It's the deepest core or center of the person. And it's the place from which your love comes, right? Kind of, it's the center of love. And so this image of the heart in God, that God has become man and taken on a human heart as his own and filled the human heart with his own divine heart of love, which is the fire that comes out of the center of the heart. So you have a human heart of flesh, and then you have the divine fire in the center of it now that burns, right? God's love has one destination. It's the human heart. That's where he wants to be.
I always like to say the Sacred Heart of Jesus isn't just about Jesus. The Sacred Heart of Jesus is about us, because everything that Jesus is, he became so that we could become that as well, that our heart could be filled with the divine fire of love. But the Sacred Heart of Jesus is also surrounded by a crown of thorns, and in the fire is a cross, and the side of the heart is wounded and open, which shows that, that when God came to us, he was wounded by our sins and our transgressions, but his response was not punishment, was not anger, but was mercy, but was love, but was giving life to us to heal the very ones who rejected his love. And so the Sacred Heart becomes the image of rejected love being healed, and the one who rejects being called back to God. So it's really a powerful image. And I always love to use this story, Gabby, from my son, who's now in his 20s. And he knows I tell this story, although he doesn't like it. But when he was about 4 years old or so, when we put our kids to bed, we always did a blessing every night with our kids. You see, it speaks to them, you know, just whatever about their day, and then we do a blessing over them. And Nicholas was growing up, was always the most reserved of our children. The other children were much more physically affectionate with us. He was much more reserved, quiet. And one day, one night I was doing a blessing with him in the bed, and as I was blessing him, he did something he'd never done, which is he grabbed my head, and he pulled his head up to my head, so our faces were like an inch apart. And he said, "Daddy, my heart burns for you."
Oh, my goodness.
And I was like, I didn't know what. I was stunned. I said, "Oh, that's so sweet, Nicholas." And then I went out at the patio, my wife asked her, and I told her what happened. I said, "Nicholas said this. I don't even know. Where did he get that from? He's 4 years old." And she said, "Well," she said, don't you remember that the other day during our prayer time in the prayer room," she said, "what's on the wall of the prayer room?" And I said, "the image of the Sacred Heart." And she said, "do you remember what Nicholas asked?" And I remembered. He had said, you know, he had said to us, "Why is Jesus's heart burning? It doesn't look very good." You know, of course, he didn't think it was a child. And so I explained to him, I said, "Jesus loves you so much. It's like a fire burning inside of him for you." And then he internalized that. And then that night, when he expressed his feelings for me at that moment, he used the image of the Sacred Heart. And I thought, that's perfect. Because the whole purpose of the Sacred Heart being revealed is to show us what the human heart should be like. And only
Absolutely.
When divine fire comes in and heals us can it become like that. That's what the Sacred Heart means. We honor his heart so that our heart
becomes
like his heart.
Dr. Neil, thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, we are out of time. Oh my goodness, it's 45 past the hour on Wake Up.
Good morning. It's 12 minutes before the hour on Wake Up. I'm Alicia Quibido, joined by Gabby Smith, and straight from Bush, Louisiana, Johnny Hebert. We're so happy that you're taking us along with you today on Catholic Community Radio. We're joined this morning by Douglas Beaumont. Douglas is the author of The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Faith. And this is the reboot edition we're talking about. Good morning, Douglas.
Good morning. How you doing?
Wonderful. It's so great to have you with us this morning. So your book originally was published in 2009 with a challenge to Christian moviegoers.
Yeah, this was back in my evangelical days, and it was published by an evangelical publisher, kind of for that audience. So the reboot has a lot to do with my conversion to the Catholic faith. And a lot of things that I've learned since then.
That's wonderful. So since you wrote the first book, you have joined the Catholic Church and you earned your PhD.
That's right. Yeah. Finished a PhD in theology. And there's some of the insights that I've picked up over the years from teaching and that kind of thing in the book as well. So there's quite a few additions as well as a little bit of a different flavor to it.
Okay, wonderful. So in 2020, Ignatius Press reached out to you and asked you to work on the reboot. Is it specifically for your Catholic audience, or is it for all Christians?
I think definitely all Christians could get quite a bit out of it. There's not a lot of Catholic versus evangelical kind of material in there.
Okay.
I think it's just been expanded to hit some things that a Catholic audience will resonate with a little bit more. But it's definitely something that is, you know, kind of generic enough to help everybody.
So how did your becoming Catholic change your perspective or change some of what is in the book?
I think a lot of it is looking at art through a more sacramental kind of worldview, mm-hmm. where the things that we do and see matter, but we don't get hung up so much on particular material type things like style elements in a movie and that kind of thing. It's really more important to look at the movie as a whole and see the good and the bad together and be able to, you know, be more objective with the way we criticize film and interact with the messages that it's sending to us.
You know, it seems that in different circles, there have been movies over the years, especially parents of children, who there will be a group of parents will say, absolutely not, your child should not see this movie. But your book gives us the opportunity to look at movies with a little bit different perspective.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there's always going to be certain elements that everybody has to watch out for, you know, and mm-hmm. certainly we don't want to excuse an occasion of sin just to be entertained.
Yes.
But at the same time, I think that we focus so much on some of these style elements, like how the language is or what we mm-hmm. see on the screen, that sometimes we can just turn a blind eye to very dangerous messages simply because they're presented in a more acceptable package. And so we really need to be careful on both ends of the spectrum.
Oh, absolutely. So you know, what comes to mind for me is recently Father Stu, the movie Father Stu came out. I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see it. But originally when I saw it, I thought, why is this movie rated R? And why is it because of language? And then when seeing the movie, I get that it really is part of the story and part of his conversion and this wonderful story of mercy.
Yeah, and so that's a good example of a film that really would have lost a lot of its power if it had, you know, kind of toned down the language a little bit. And you can also think of something like The Passion or Schindler's mm-hmm. List, you know, where if you just have people saying, well, gee golly, and, you know, not really showing, you know, the horrors of the contrast would be lost. And, you know, whether or not that means that a 10-year-old should go see it, well, that's a different question. But as far as whether or not the movie itself is a good thing, that can still remain open.
Okay. So tell us about how your book is structured. It's divided into three acts. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So the first one is basically learning how to understand a movie's message objectively. There's just certain things that filmmakers and screenwriters do to communicate a certain message, and if we're aware of that, we're going to do a lot better job discerning what the film is really saying about the world instead of just getting hung up on one or two elements that jump out at us. Mm-hmm. So that's part one. And then act two has to do with interacting with those messages from a Christian standpoint. So let's say a movie is attacking the existence of God or whether or not Christianity is true. Mm-hmm. It's going to give tips on how to use those films in conversations with people and still be able to evangelize and defend the faith, but using kind of America's myths in order to help us out there. Mm-hmm. And then the third part has more to do with personal issues about, you know, which movies exactly are okay for us to watch as Catholics, and some of the pitfalls we want to avoid.
Okay. Now, I read in part of your book a question about, does anything good come out of Hollywood anymore? So, can you sum up that answer? Do good things come out of Hollywood?
Yeah, I took that from the biblical concern about Jesus. Can anything good come from Nazareth?
Right.
But yeah, I do think that there's quite a bit of good that is still coming out. I mean, sometimes even inadvertently. But at, you know, worst case scenario, we can also take bad examples of messages and use them as a springboard to get into a conversation with someone about something that is true. Mm-hmm. So I think from an entertainment standpoint, yes, you know, Hollywood's maybe in, you know, kind of a funk right now, but you know, as far as the messages go, there's still plenty for us to interact with. Movies, whether they come through Netflix as, you know, binge-worthy dramas or, you know, single visits to the theater, they're still having a huge impact on our culture, and we need to be able to interact at that level.
Wonderful. So this, we're visiting with Douglas Beaumont. He is the author of The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Your Faith. Who is the audience for your book, Douglas?
I would just say, like anybody of movie watching age, you know, okay. I've had my young teenager read my book, and he got a lot out of it, all the way up to someone that maybe doesn't even really watch movies all that much, but realizes that, gosh, everybody in my family is jabbering on and on about these films.
Right.
yeah, they'll be able to ask the right kinds of questions so that they can draw, you know, from the viewers what's going on in the film and still be able to take that material in Act 2 and say, okay, well, let's talk about that. You know, is Jesus really God, or is he just, you know, a weird prophet? They're still going to profit from that. Okay. If you're in America, these things are important. And if you're Catholic, they're important.
Absolutely. Douglas Beaumont, author of The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Faith. Where can our listeners pick up a copy of your book, Douglas?
The publisher is Ignatius Press, so I would go there. But if you want to go to Amazon or something like that, the book's available anywhere books are sold.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for visiting with us this morning. Douglas Beaumont, The Message Behind the Movie, Engaging Film Without Disengaging Your Faith.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Thank you. God bless you.
You too.
Wow, that's a great, it's a great book, and I love the reboot. So he had his master's in apologetics, in evangelical apologetics, when he wrote his first book, and then the reboot, he is now a Catholic with a PhD in theology. So,
cool. Great.
Converts, right. Boy, they continue to really, you know, ignite us, you know, remind
right.
us of our roots and
you're
things
right,
like that.
Johnny.
And or if you're a cradle Catholic, mm-hmm. it's Ocean Day today. We've gone
it
to
is.
Some deep depths. And
dive
some,
in.
Yeah. And deeper still.
Yes.
The deeper you go, there are always right. deeper levels.
That's
yeah.
right.
So, well, let's call on God as we end our show this morning. And we do pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. O God, from whom all good things come, grant that we who call on you in our need may at your prompting discern what is right, and by your guidance to do it. Send us your Holy Spirit to strengthen our resolve to follow your commandments of love. Help our faith to know that all your plans will come to fruition, that nothing shall pass away which is good, holy, and true. We pray this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy
Amen.
Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll catch you back here tomorrow at 7 a.m. Central Time, joined by Sister Mary Lou Speca with Hotel Hope, David Johnson Jr. from the Diocese of Houma Thibodaux, and so many more others. Have a wonderful Wednesday. God bless.
Wake Up is a production of Catholic Community Radio.